there is an uncomfortable tension in the readings for the third Sunday of Advent, something like the effect of pushing all the way down on the accelerator and the brake at the same time. We hear words of anticipation and then of patience, words that stoke our expectation and then call us to quietude, be patient. And then almost in the next line, the promised Messiah is already here. It is a funny kind of message to hear, this pushing and pulling in a city that is named for the idea of restfulness. On the rare occasions it appears in our lectionary, the letter of James is always worth careful study and sometimes the cause of confusion. Here's the Advent advice we get from James. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Oh, well, that's comforting, isn't it? Now, there's a debate over the authorship of the letter of James, and I plant my flag in the camp of those who come down against the idea that the hand of James the Just, the brother of Jesus, wrote these words. It's clear that it's a letter written to a group of Jewish Christians, people who still thought of themselves as part of the synagogue community, trying to find a way of staying Jewish while being Christian. But the Greek of the letter is too polished, and some of the internal evidence it has seems to date it from after the time James is thought to have died, at least if you read Josephus. What we can be sure of is that the author had a very clear idea about the place of prophets in the life and history of the Jewish people. And that is what makes this teaching so strange, because patience is not an idea generally associated with prophets. When we think today about being prophetic, we think about being impatient for change. When we talk these days about the church's prophetic mission, we don't mean planning quiet contemplative liturgies or singing comfort and joy hymns. Prophets have a purpose. And the purpose is realigning a world that has gotten off course at various points along our journey. Prophets mean business, and usually the business is change, sometimes disruptive change, because sometimes things have gotten into such a fix that disruption is really the only chance God has of getting a hearing again. It's certainly true that prophets have a solid record of suffering for their purpose. It's not easy, and it's not well compensated, this profession of prophecy. It involves frequent relocation, incurring the anger of authorities, anguished prayer, and a lot of questioning looks. The folks who are voted most popular in the graduating class generally do not align themselves with the profession of prophecy. But patience, that's a different thing. Prophets rarely see the change they are impatient to bring about. Jonah, of course, is an exception, and he is so confused by being successful that he gets angry. I suppose you could say prophets have no choice but to be patient, but they are not, on the whole, patient people. John the Baptist is a prophet. He certainly fits the usual model. He eats poorly, dresses poorly, has gotten the authorities so angry that he's been thrown into prison, and even yet, after his encounter with Jesus, he is still impatient. His question reflects his impatience. Are you the one who's coming, or should we keep looking? Because, you know, we are looking, and we're not going to stop looking. We need the change that God is bringing, and we need it now. We are in that same place, really. More and more each day, we see the misalignment between God's hope for us, Christ's teaching to us, and the way we treat each other, the way our societies function, even the way we own the idea of being Christian. We are impatient to find some way of resolving the tension, of realigning the course of our lives with the covenant of our baptism. Some people, maybe a lot of people around us, can't bear that growing tension. For them, even being impatient is too hopeful. Their answer is simply despair. A week ago today, the Archdeacon and I were in Sweden, and among other things, we attended a symposium on the theme existential public health. There's a Swedish topic for you. That just about sums up the predicament of so many of our neighbors and our coworkers who find themselves struggling with even the idea of hope. And if that is the case, why be impatient for a hoped-for change? But then there's us. At the very center of our faith is the call to Christians to be people of hope. When we give that up, when we surrender to the cynicism around us, we have failed in our covenant promise. But as long as we hold on to it, then we, each one of us, are called to be prophets, because each one of us is meant to be bearers of Christ's transforming love, a love that changes whatever it touches. Every single person who encounters Jesus in the Gospels comes away profoundly changed. Everyone, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and most amazing and least likely of all, the poor have good news brought to them. And then some of them follow, and most of them don't. But absolutely every one of them is changed in some way. The encounter with the profound love that is God in Christ strips back all the outer layers and reveals the character beneath. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree. Lazarus walks out of the grave. Even Judas is transformed by that encounter. And now, well, now it's Advent, and Christ is coming again. And the encounter this time will be with us. We are impatient for change. God knows we need change, but are we prepared for what that encounter will reveal in us? We feel so small here in this place. Weak hands, feeble knees, fearful heart. What could possibly be expected of us? This past week, I spent 2 days at an annual gathering organized by the Refugee Agency of the UN, UNHCR. We learned this year that the world set a record in 2022 for the largest number of human beings who have ever been forcibly displaced from their homes, more than at any previous time in our history, more than after the Second World War, more than after all the world wars of the 20th century. Today, 103 million people have been forced from their homes, and nearly half of them, 45% of them, are children. We are impatient for change. We want to be prophets, speaking and acting to realign this world with the hope of God, but what can we do against the sheer size of that problem? Who are we to raise our voices when the forces of injustice seem so overwhelming? And yet, you know, there are people around us acting. There are people around us not just praying for change, but living out the idea of hope. Here in Karlsruhe, the Freundeskreis Asyl Karlsruhe has been working for 35 years to provide counseling, language training, legal assistance, and migration support to refugees in the city. For some years, the Free Evangelical Church here has hosted a summer initiative for refugees, gathering personal care items that they need and then taking them to the accommodation where they've been living here in the city. The Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, of which we were speaking earlier, has a coordination office for refugees. The whole premise of which is the idea that young people who are here in the city as refugees have something to learn and can grow and contribute to the life of the town. And what have we done? Would anyone know, watching us here, that we have met with the Christ who has been risen and have been transformed by knowing him? At the end of last year, before this miserable war in Ukraine even began, there were nearly 1,900,000 refugees living in Baden-Württemberg. We know there are voices among us who are impatient with their presence, impatient with the idea of having to care for those who are here seeking safety or fleeing the onslaught of war. In parts of Germany, accommodations where refugees have been living have been burned to the ground by arsonists, so impatient with the idea of these people among us. So where shall we stand? What witness will we offer? Will we be like the innkeeper who turned away that little family far from home? Or will we be like the innkeeper who took in the wounded and beaten man that the Samaritan brought as a guest? Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Lord, strengthen us. Make us firm in our resolve to follow you. Speak courage into our fearful hearts. And make us strong to be impatient to do the work of your justice in our time and place. Amen.